Okay, so what I'd like to do is just, first of all, let's go through a little bit of review. So we know that the study that we're actually working on is Set Your Minds. Last week, for those of you, if anybody is wanting to actually take a picture, now's the time to do it, because this is most of what we went over last week. So we went through all of these study, all of these different scriptures, and I know that we had a little bit of homework in Psalm 104. Hopefully, and if you didn't have time to go through it, don't stress out about it. Just go ahead and, you know, write it down to Psalm 104 at a certain time to go through it. It would be really, really great. But just going through Psalm 100, 1 Peter 1:3, and so on, we kind of broke down some of the purpose behind why it is that we need to actually even have our minds be thinking about things that are set above. When you go through these different scriptures, you start to realize, wow, there's actually a purpose. I shouldn't just wake up and just be like a log every day with my mind. I need to be intentional and be focused on the things of God. And a huge part of that is your identity and how that really purposes into what Jesus has done for us. I mean, it all in the end is about Jesus. That's the whole thing. But this is just our review for us of what we covered last week. And then, as you know, Philippians 4:8 is kind of the theme on our artwork that we have all around. It says, whatever is true, noble, and it goes through Philippians 4:8. So that's gonna be continually behind us even tonight. And then Colossians 3:2, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. And I love that scripture so much. It's so important for us to habitually set our minds on things above. There's so many distractions, and I'm not just talking about your kids. I mean, your phones, what kind of cleaner you wanna get. Do you get something that has bleach? Are you gonna die and toxically kill your whole family off if you do? Like, there are so many distractions and decisions that we have to make, let alone if somebody's doing something that's beyond, like if you're planning on a getaway or if you're moving or just, you know, there's life stressors and there's things that can really sort of keep us feeling like we're completely glued to this earth. But last week we talked about how, man, we're so encouraged in God's word to keep in mind and remember, habitually practice that the things of this earth are temporal. And really we need to set our mind on things above because that's what's permanent, that's eternal. And teaching our kids to do the same is key. It's key in your job as far as being a mom. Now in the end, when we put all of those letters together, that's the Teener Plap. So Teener Plap, you've heard Brett say it, Amy shared about it at the women's studies before. How many, I'm so excited, how many got your Teener Plap kit? Okay, so if you did not get your kit, raise your hand if you did not get your kit. Okay, so we have a kit for you in the back. Make sure and pick it up tonight. Each person that got your journal, go ahead and rip it out. Yeah, rip them out. Let's hear those rips. Rip, 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 rip. Anybody who is at home, you should have gotten them or they will be coming to you pretty soon. So we're excited for you to get that. So tonight I'm going to go through a couple of the cards, maybe a couple of them, maybe all of them, maybe. I'm kind of excited about these because first of all, they're just beautiful. So I know it's temporal. I just got done talking to you about how we're not into temporal things, but we a little bit are. Okay, so the Set Your Mind, which is what we look at behind us. That's the very first thing. And if you look on the back of that, you actually have the scripture that we've been studying. So our thought, when Jess and I were working through all this, we really wanted it to be something that you could put on your refrigerator. I mean, let's face it, sometimes there's like Christian art, and I don't know why they call it art. It just kind of looks like somebody just slapped something up there. I don't know. We have such talent in our graphic arts department. It's unbelievably amazing how I don't even get how to use computers. Like, I shut things down. I don't know. Even today, working on the keynote presentation or whatever, I'm like, I don't know why. The computer hates me. It hates me. It literally hates me. So to think about these gals and guys that are, like, their brains are just wired to be able to understand how technology and computers go, and then to be able to, because I didn't understand it. I mean, I did a lot of art in college, a ton. A lot of art in college, a lot of art in, like, but art, you know, like, here's a colored pencil, here's an oiled pastel, here's charcoal, here's this and that. I have a pencil for working on my iPad that I maybe have had that for like several years. I'm just now figuring out, oh, wow, that's amazing. You can make it look like charcoal. This is so cool. These guys just whip stuff out in like an hour. So, I mean, for them to make something look so pretty that you actually want on your refrigerator. And then, okay, so that's number one. Number two, that your kids can read, okay, because it's not like on the back, all of our type is like, kids can read this. And you can read it, and you're gonna want to read it because it looks pretty. And even though we don't worship our aesthetic, you know, qualities in our mind, but God knows how we're wired, right? And he knows like, wow, our eyes are gonna kind of go to something that maybe, you know, looks nice. So this is the very cover, and you can put magnets on there if you want to, or obviously if you want to do tape, if you want to order another set, you could. When these are blown up, you would not even believe how amazing they are. So if you guys are actually interested, if you see something and you're like, wow, that spoke to me during the study, that this particular art, that I need that. I need that. Like, you know, it's in the budget and all that stuff. For not very much, because we don't charge. We're a nonprofit, so we just charge what it costs us. But we're going to take orders for that. So make sure and write us either at Athey Women or at Mom Time at Athey Creek, right? And let us know that you are interested in having poster, what size, whatever. Whatever helps these things get really cemented into your mind, that's the whole goal. So let's just go through the first true. Okay, so on the back, you'll see the first is the pretty, you know, cursive true. And then on the back, the way that it's broken down is we have what it says in the NIV, and then we have what it says in the King James Version. So if there is a difference, you'll see it will break it right down. Then we have it in the Greek, and then we have the phonetic, and we have the definition of that actual word. And then at the base of every card, we have several scriptures. And I mentioned last week the little devotional called Daily Light. And the reason why I wanted to kind of mimic that is because it's not really overwhelming to look at this throughout the day if it's on your refrigerator, right? Or if it's next to your bed or whatever. And for you to go, I'm gonna look up Psalm 104, verse 1 through 4 right now. I'm only gonna do that. And then maybe a little bit later say, I'm gonna look up what John 8:12 is right now. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:15, also not overwhelming. So, and then eventually you get through this day, right? Now, if I were to go through each one of these cards, which I eventually will. Now, I got you for like another hour, so hold on. We're gonna take our time. If you were to go through some of these, not all, but some of them, what's super fun is at the end of, let's just say you do this on Monday, and let's just say you do this one on Tuesday, etc. A lot of these, you will have gone through entire chapters of those particular books. So then the hope is that we can start understanding, just like when we change the way that we eat. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to change our diet? Please tell me about this. Please tell me you agree. Like, now's not the time to cut out sugar, right? We just had a bunch of cupcakes. So I'm just saying. But if the time does come that you're gonna cut out sugar, it would be, you know, like a little bit of an adjustment. Okay, so to do everything all at once. How many people here have had to do the autoimmune protocol diet? How many people have? Not very many of you, but for those of you who have, I hear you, okay? You are my sister. I have had to do it. Guess how much fun it is, everyone else? None! you get your spinach, you go, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And then you get to tomatoes and you go, oh, I can't have that because they're nightshades. And then you get to something else and you go, oh, can't have that either. To where at the end, you're like, I literally am a rabbit. I am a rabbit. That's all I can do. And the whole point of that is you have to basically take out all the bad and then you add in a little bit of time and you see what flips your body out. I'm not saying it the way a doctor would, but I'm saying it so you can understand. That's the point. Okay, so back to this. If you're changing your diet and if you're cutting out a little bit of social media, or if you're cutting out a little bit of whatever it is that you've had too much of that and you want more of God's word, this allows you to take a pretty good meal in a day. And then if you're really like, whoa, I think I want two meals. Whoa, I think I want three. Maybe, and I'll have the rest the next day. And then maybe you'll turn around and you'll do the whole thing again, that by the time you're done, you could be on your way, just like when you change your diet. Like, you know what? I can take the training wheels off now. I can actually ride. I'm with two wheels. Does that make sense? So that's kind of the idea with the carts. Equally so for your kids. Because as you go through the word and you can share with them what it is you're learning, their lives are gonna be changed. Their lives will be changed. And that is gonna be encouraging to you because, oh my goodness, there's nothing so freeing as realizing, oh my goodness, how my kids turn out is actually pretty much zippo to do with me. It is God. It's the Holy Spirit at work in our children's lives. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. You can teach them boundaries and you can teach them obedience, of course. And like we talked about last week and we'll talk about again tonight, we're called to obedience. But in the end, it is the Holy Spirit. It's that internal relationship. It's that change that God can do that you can't do. You cannot do it. There are certain things you are limited to doing. And the sooner that you find that out, oh, the much more free you'll be. And you'll love your kids and you'll love the Lord and you'll love your husband if you're here and you're married. And it will not be dependent on their behavior. It will be true unconditional love and a love that really only God can provide through your heart and through his word. So that's the hope on the blessing of these cards. So you've got whatever is true. When you get to noble, which is also a real pretty one, I would highly suggest that one too if you're gonna order a poster. This is cool. Like on the back, some of you might even notice this. Hey, wait, in the King James it says honest, but in NIV it's noble. And that's true. There's a couple different ways you could do it. But we've just always stuck with noble. The interpretations are the same. So it's anyway, we've got it all here on the Greek. And then when you go to right, this is great because, you know, in this social justice climate, everyone's talking about it. And what does that mean? It just right out of the gate right here, you're like, huh, right and just interpret. Huh, that's interesting. Oh, okay, righteous, observing divine laws. That's interesting. In a wide sense, upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. Wow, wouldn't our society look different if we would keep the commands of God? And then in a narrower sense, rendering to each his due, and that in a judicial sense, that's why we have the justice system. Our system in our United States is based off of biblical principles, and this is evidence of that right here. So as you go through and you look at the cards, which are just so fun, I hope you really enjoy these, what we're calling teener plap kits, because man, they're filled with nuggets, really good ones. And I think that there's just huge, huge, huge benefit by going through and studying God's word. And hopefully we're doing it for you in a fun way, in a creative way, and in a way that, you know, you can take this and mimic it and copy it at home and just have fun with that and then just see. So rather than doing homework workbooks, that is your homework and workbook, is to dive in and jump into God's word. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So now I wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit more about what are some of the things that we need to do in order to give you the tools you need for your tool belt. So as you can tell, this is just always the way that I have parented. Okay. So this mom time is this. So my experience being raised, okay, so my parents did as good as they could. I will start out with that. They literally did as good as they could, but they literally based everything on a philosophy that was not a biblical philosophy. They thought they did. They were told they did. But when I got saved and started reading through the Bible, I was like, wait a minute, by grace you're saved? Hold on a minute. It's not by how many rules you keep or, you know, I mean, I often heard this in my house. You'll go to heaven because you're a good person. Well, anybody that's studied other world religions knows that, that sounds awful lot like Buddhism. Maybe a little bit like Hindu, a little bit of a mixture of things. And what my parents, bless their hearts, did not realize, they really thought they went to a sincerely Christian school. Back in the 50s, late 50s, it was just the start of the entire shift that was going on in society. A lot of people don't even understand that, like, the whole gender ideology, gender theory, and all of that was going back in the 40s, late 40s, guys. So the darkness has been around for a while, okay? It just has puddled out, and now it's like exploding out is all. So I say that to comfort you, because America has gone through changes that have been subtle. But the reason why this should encourage you is because if there's anybody in this room who should have never come to Christ, it's me. I should never, ever have come to the Lord. Statistically, forget about it. Just forget about it. So it should give you a lot of hope just in understanding the power that we have in God's amazing word. There's power in this book. And that's why we've printed them out for you easily so that you can have your sword up, you can armor up with God's word. Wherever it is you want to plaster these guys, and if you want to order more, do it. Get them up, because this is your defense. It's your armor, it's your shield, it's your fighting weapon. Okay, it's really important that you do that. And for those of you who don't know me or don't know my story very much, I mean, it's just, yeah, if the more that you hear about like my background and where I came from and how the Lord just cut through all that, it's an incredible, incredible thing. It's an amazing thing. So don't ever give up. Wherever you're living, whatever neighborhood you're in, or wherever, whatever friends you have in your kids' friends group or sports or whatever, please, I beg of you, do not stop praying for those kids. Please do not stop praying for those kids. It was the prayer of, I'm not going to say her name because I don't want her reward to get taken away from when it comes time for that in heaven. But I had a family member who was at school, and when she heard the news that my parents had separated, I was only three, and she heard the Lord tell her, go to Debbie's house and you pray for her. She comes to my house. I'm not there. I'm in preschool. She comes to my house. She literally lays hands on the door of my parents' house. This is a high school kid, okay? So that's why I'm like, pour into high school kids. Say hello to kids that are younger. Say hi to them. Make sure and make eye contact. Have connections with these kids, because you never know the capability of a child's faith and a child who is in a high school, body or whatever. So she has faith in Christ. She comes to my house and she lays hands, and the Lord tells her to pray for me. So she prayed for me, and she told me years later, Debbie, I don't know why, but the Lord did not lay on my heart, Grandpa Richard, the relative Richard. It's not her grandpa. That was me messing up. Sorry. Didn't drink enough water today. My dad's name's Richard. So, Richard and Lee and Walt, like that family, it was only me. And so 10 years or so later, when God started putting around Christians in my life who said to their daughter, hey, Judy, invite Debbie over. Invite her over on a Saturday night so we can take her to church on Sunday. My mom was busy doing stuff, and she was tired. She was a single mom. She was trying so hard. But they saw that my mom could benefit by having a break, which anybody that knows me says, yes. Having a break from Debbie sometimes is necessary. Like Brett's like, go do mom time, hon. No, I'm just kidding. But I can be a little, woo. And man, as a little kid, I needed to be tap dancing. I needed to do all the stuff to like burn up the energy. So for me to go ride horses or pet horses or go do sewing or crafts or whatever with my friend Judy, and then her mom and dad would take us out to church. And then afterwards, I would get a meal. They would make sure that I was full, and they told me all about the Lord. That was their mission field, was this little girl right here. So as they took me to church, I started feeling what all of y'all have felt. And that is when you realize there's something that wants to be a part of you. And that was the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know it. And my sweet, almost like my second mom, Carmen, I would just say, I don't know what it is. And she said, Debbie, that is the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what is the Holy Spirit? Because I understood the Trinity. I was raised in the Episcopal Church, and I knew Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I knew that. I knew the Apostolic Creed. I understood those things. But it is so different when you take it from black and white on paper and just liturgy to making it personal. And those guys who are both in heaven now, Carmen and Neil, I love them forever because of how they poured into me. So never ever underestimate what a child can do in the life of another child to bring them to Christ. It could be your child that brings little kids to church and they get saved. That was my story. It just plain old was, and there's no getting around that. So you're a mom and you're saying, oh great, no pressure. What do I do? Okay, here's a few tools for your tool belt. And you're already doing it, you guys. I am sharing this with you so that you can turn around and tell 10 or 12 other gals, so that you can have coffee or tea at your house and share this stuff with these gals and get the word out, because we have a hungry, hungry set of neighborhoods and cities and towns and states and a country that is dying without Christ, and they need to hear the truth. So I'm gonna share these things with you so that you can continue to get the growth going the way Jesus asked us to do. Number one, remain strong in doctrine. It's huge, you're doing it. If you're going to Wednesday night Bible study, and if you have been for a long time, you're remaining strong in doctrine, but stick to it. Make sure and stick to it. Review books if you have to. Everything's online for at no cost at Athe Creek. So you can go back and review, you know, books that Brett has done. If you're like, wait, what does this say in the Old Testament? Now that he's going through Matthew, what do we do? You can totally look those things up, and you can go through those things and learn. And take notes again if you have to. Number two, be ready with an answer. Your kids have questions. They do. They just do. My mom, bless her heart, like I said, went to what she thought was a Christian university. She was raised under the Christian doctrine. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. And I do believe my mom, I mean, she's saved. She's gonna go to heaven. It's just we all, aren't we now, realizing, oh my goodness, people have had to negotiate what it's like to go to a college that is actually secular, even though they're saying they're Christian, you know? So I remember in high school, when that sort of stirring was happening in my heart, Christmas came around, and I remember thinking, I felt like something was like an unanswered question. Like I didn't understand it. I mean, I'd gone through the Christmas story. My mom always had us watch, you know, all the Christmas stuff, you know, like the Little Drummer Boy, you know, Snoopy, you know, that's straight out of Luke chapter 2, of course. So, and you'll see what are some other Christmas ones. Oh yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed. That's not in the Bible. Never mind. Okay, so, but Christmas stuff, right? So we celebrated Christmas, definitely. I had a question for my mom one Christmas, and I think I was in the 9th or 10th grade. So I was too young to drive out to church myself, but it was Christmas Eve. And I remember thinking, I want to know the real Christmas story. And like I said, I mean, the Snoopy thing, they do a pretty good job. I mean, you've got straight up scripture coming out, right? But like, I know the Lord was prompting for me to actually read it. And now I know it's because God's word is living and powerful. Like he was talking to me. So my mom knew right where to go. She opened it right up and I read it. And I remember I was in the room, in the family room. There was a Christmas tree and the whole thing. And I just thought, oh, wow. Okay, this is Christmas. I get it. Cool. But like my mom had an answer, right? Now, granted, my mom was a teacher. So she had a lot of answers for many, many kids. She was not intimidated in that way. Don't let a certificate or not a certificate get in the way, because you're your child's mom. And there's nobody equipped like you are. So by being strong in doctrine, you'll have the answers. And then plus, what did Jesus say, right? He said, don't worry, the Holy Spirit's gonna give you the words that you need. You know, and the application there was if you're, you know, in front of a judge, and sometimes you might think that your kids are a judge, because I understand that, that can be like, you can feel like, oh no, they're gonna judge me for what I don't know, right? We can get as intimidated as all get out, even in front of our kids. You have to realize, they're kids. Their hearts are open. They are asking because they want to know. So go ahead and be willing to communicate with them and answer for those questions. Another thing to put in your tool belt, and it's not written down, but that also means have a really good line of communication open with your kids. That's so huge. A giant rule, huge rule, still is the rule in our house. You can say anything you want as long as you say it respectfully. Now, you need to define respect because that's going to look differently in some houses. There's some houses that, you know, loud tones are like, that's still respectful, but they're just excited and you know they're excited, stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, just have the line of communication open. Don't ever do anything to just shut a kid down and make it so that they kind of go inside their shell, because it's really, really, really hard to get them out of that shell once they're in. So just keep that line of communication open. And just, you know, if you have to have a happy chat again, we've talked about happy chats before. Raise your hand if you've never heard of a happy chat. Okay, great. Welcome to Mom Time. Okay, happy chats. I'll tell you right now what a happy chat is. And say it with respect as the subject, okay? All right, so let's just say your kids are like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that, okay? Maybe you had one every year, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, so you've got a whole bunch of kids and they are not talking respectfully to you and it's just getting out of control, and you can tell it. You can tell by your tone, and you can tell by your own, you're feeling frazzled. Things are not going well. Your own tone, your professional mother voice is getting a little bit more like this, and you know that that's not acceptable, okay? So we're not doing that. That's, Brett calls that the Kmart mom, and now he has to rename it because Kmart shut down, and I don't know if we're going with Walmart mom or whatever, but anyway, you know that you're just out of control. So when you know that you're out of control like that, and I did this a couple of times, kids, mommy needs to take a time out. And I would. They would go to their rooms and I would go to my room, because nothing good is gonna happen when you break that, you know, tone thing. Nothing good comes from that. Okay, when you all gather back, you can sit everyone down onto the couch. Okay, we're all happy. Maybe even after you've not had anything frazzly happen, maybe you had a yummy dessert and you're like, you know what? Now would be a good time to talk about some new rules. That's the happy chat. It's your time when you reset, and you're gonna have to talk about the great reset. The great reset is what happens inside your home. Okay, so that is just the way it is. Happy chats are the time where you sit everybody down and you say, okay guys, things have been a little bit out of control. Mommy wants to apologize. I'm going to take ownership because I'm the one who allowed you to do that. And I want to tell you right now, I'm sorry. Will you forgive mommy? Yes. They don't even know what you're talking about. Yes. They will say yes. Okay? Because kids are kind and sweet and loving, and they really, really do love you, and they forgive quickly, and they exhibit huge evidence of Christ every day that they live. But they are little sinners, and they can get out of control. Okay, so you have to say, okay, so I've been letting you and you talk like this and this to each other and to me, and I have to tell you, it's unacceptable. And we have to change the way we're gonna say things. So 7-year-old, when you talk to the 9-year-old, you need to say please and thank you. 11-year-old, you need to show respect and say please and thank you. Do you understand? Yes. Good. Now, if you do not say please and thank you and talk respectfully to each other or to me, there's going to be a consequence. And then hopefully you and your husband have already pre-talked this out and you already know what the consequence is. And for some, it may be a spanking. For another, it may be, okay, this is the big thing we were gonna do. And if this gets messed up, you're gonna get this consequence taken away. Like, you need to figure it out in a mature, really measurable way that kids, it's very, very clear. So then the second that there is a disrespectful comment made to you or to the kids, you can go back and say, hey, do you remember when we had our happy chat? Yes. Do you remember what the consequence was? Yes. Go to your room. Or whatever it is. You go to the refrigerator and you take away their tickets for TV or whatever, you know? So I'm just saying. So that in and of itself is really a happy chat. It's a game changer, I'm telling you. If you start that now, I don't care if you have a child that is 1 week old, like, you start having happy chats. Mommy's gonna put you into your crib and I'm gonna let you, trust me, ask Judy Slaughter. I literally, Judy, she's crying. Well, what happened?
I put her in bed for a nap.
This was Brooke.
I put her in bed for a nap.
She's crying. Honey. Anyone that's talked to Judy knows she's got a little Bostonian accent, right? Honey, she needs to cry.
Why? She's a baby. Why?
She needs to cry.
I don't understand.
It's exercise. It's good for their lungs.
It is?
Yes, trust me. Now keep in mind, she's killed about 5 minutes right now on the conversation, right? And I said, well, what if I just set the timer? Set the timer, that's great. And at 10 minutes, you go in and you just rub her little back. Sometimes that can make it worse, though. This is a Titus II woman talking to me, okay? This is what you get if you meet these gals that come up in the front. You get this kind of help. Well, what do I do? What do I do if she's crying? She's going to be okay. She will? She's not going to die. She will not die. I promise you, she will not die. And she prayed with me. And you know what? Look at Brooke. She's alive. Brooke is alive. Brooke is alive. I let her cry and she's alive. But you know what I had to do after that? It was less about the discipline for Brooke, obviously, at 4 weeks old or whatever, 3 weeks old. It was, Brooke, mommy's going to lay you down and I'm going to set the timer for 10 minutes. And I love you, I promise. Put it down. Run over and set the timer as fast as I can. Watch the timer while she's crying. And then before I knew it, she was asleep before the timer went off. It's just amazing. But those are those tiny little things that is in terms of discipline and those happy chats. I just can't even tell you how many arguments and how many tension-filled moments just go away. They just go away because you take the time to communicate clearly with your kids so that they know the expectation and you deliver on the goods. That makes you trustworthy. And here's the big thing. It makes them realize you are a woman of your word. And when you refer to things of God, someone who they cannot see, and you're asking them to believe, they will believe you. You will have accrued a great amount of credibility because you have not given in. You have said, you have delivered on what it is you have said you were going to do. You're a promise keeper. Mom says what she means. She keeps those promises. She's talking to me about God. She's saying God keeps his promises. I trust mom. I'm going to give God a trust. That's very broken down, very elementary, but I hope that that's being really spoken to you in a way that it makes it so that you can really break this down for your kids. Because the greatest thing you can do as a mom is to not make them have a clean room. The greatest thing you can do is share Jesus with them so that they can have a clean heart and that they will be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever with you. That is the greatest thing you can do as a mom. That is your number one calling, the number one. So when I talk about being ready with an answer, that's why. It's all kind of connected. So it's really important too, and I think a super healthy idea, something to, we started talking about it last week. We'll be getting into it more, but especially because we're heading into the Easter season and we're going to talk about the resurrection tonight, but knowing about the incarnation and being comfortable in talking about that, that God literally came to this earth in the form of a man. It was God who came to this world. That is huge. Get comfortable with that and be in a way able to have an answer to your kids for that. The other thing is understanding and really being comfortable with the deity of Christ. This is a game changer. It's a game changer because you explaining to your kids that Jesus is God, I promise you it will make sense. As you trust God's word, as you literally say God's word to your kids, and as you're reading through the Gospels, and whether that's in children's books, which I'm not doing a plug for the bookstore, but we do vet the books that are in the bookstore. We're very careful about the ones that we have in there because we want to make sure that they're doing these things, that they are really glorifying the Lord Jesus as God, not as just another person, not as somebody who is kind and good, because that's nice to have those stories, but it is pivotal and very important that you make sure that you really, really just drill down on the deity of Christ. Also, it's really, really important for you to understand that as Gentiles, which most of us are, there might be a few people here who have Jewish descent, If your last name's Cohen, we know some folks who are Cohen. They go back to the time of the priesthood. You know, if you're a Gentile, you need to know that you're invited. You were invited by God through the scriptures, and then Jesus put his stamp on it in the New Testament. It's super important. And as we're gonna study a few more things regarding what Paul had shared, we'll go over that. I mean, it was in Philippians, a book that he authored. He was commissioned to go to the Gentiles and make sure they knew that they were invited. And then the resurrection, which we're gonna get into in just a minute. So these things are super, super important. I wanna make sure also that we just kind of revisit what scripture says in terms of just the power of Christ. So turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1, and we're gonna look at verse 15 through 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's the deity of Christ. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything, the heavenly realms and on earth, everything. When you are with your kids, point to creation, point to the stars, point to the sunset. If you're at the ocean, point to the ocean. God created it all. He created it all. Everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Wow, what an opportunity right now you have as moms. Oh my goodness. With video games and crazy like shows that nobody here should be watching that have all this thrones and stuff, people are really into all this, okay? They're into it. But this is really what matters, okay? Things that we cannot see, such as thrones. Talk to your kids and tell them, thrones are real. Kingdoms are real. Rulers and authorities are real. These things are real. And the Bible has a better answer than anything that's on TV as far as why these things came about. And it all goes back to God. Make sure and share that with your kids. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Another scripture for you to just have on hand is Acts 26, 17 through 18. Let's go ahead and turn there. Just looking at the early church. And the Lord replies and says, I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. That's the calling that Paul was commissioned to do. Now, I want to read this again. And I want you to just in your mind, just say, okay, I'm going to pretend I'm Paul for a minute. And I'm going to try to figure out why I am supposed to be a mom. Okay, let me read this. Okay. And let's just say your kids, which they actually are Gentiles, but let's just say they're the Gentiles that we're talking about here. Okay, I'm going to read it again. Okay, just picture your kids. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. That's your job. That's your job as a mom. That's it. Another really good scripture is Luke 24. Verses 6 and 7. Go ahead and turn there if you have your Bible or your phone. I'm learning now that it's quiet. It doesn't mean you don't have anything. It's just sometimes I bring my phone to church too. I'm just going to go ahead and say it so that you all know we're all human. Okay, here's our motive in what we're doing, teaching your kids this, especially as we come up into the Easter season. Okay, I'm actually going to back up a little bit because this is just so sweet, especially because Brett just did the sermon about Mary from Bethany and how special the Marys, you know, were to the Lord. Okay, starting just in verse 1 of 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember that he told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." When you want to talk to your kids in the simplest form, just read them the resurrection story. It's so beautiful that God did that for us. Now, the resurrection is so huge. It's so huge. It's so fundamental to the Christian. It is literally fundamental to our whole entire belief system. You know, Paul said, if the resurrection didn't happen, then let us all be like accursed. Like we're idiots, you know, for even sitting and gathering here tonight if we don't believe in the resurrection. So some of the things that I'm going to share with you tonight, I'm just straight up going to be like, wow, I'm going to be super upfront with you. The things that I read in this life application Bible that my friend Susie told me about, I'm like, no way. The ladies need to read about this. You guys need to get this Bible. It's fun. It's good. There's tons of maps in it and you get to learn all kinds of things, but some of the commentary is just so rich and sweet. And then, and again, you'll have more answers for your kids. So this is all very paraphrased, but when I was reading through some of the notes on resurrection, I was like, oh man, I have to just pass this on to you guys. It's really good. So as we think about these things, whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, remember, Christ is our righteousness, whatever is pure. To me, there's nothing more pure than the gospel story and God loving us in spite of our sin, dying on the cross for our sins. As we wrap in the teener plaps, okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and go over a few things about the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we know that the kingdom of heaven has broken into earth's history. I love how that's phrased. Just the idea of thinking that here's the timeline. I don't know how many of you have gotten those. Are you in here, Jess Bertel? What's that cool map called? It's this giant map. You guys, you can get it on Amazon for like $35. It's not, but out at the Ark, where when I went to speak there last year, she was like, this is amazing. It's this huge world map. It's got a timeline of every civilization in all, like of all recorded history. So what's hilarious about it is that it goes back to what, 10,000 maybe, like recorded, like 6,000 BC. And so it's got all these lines of all these civilizations, and there's like this, because there's civilizations come and go, and like stuff does this, and there's just all these things that are all on this timeline, right? So you're like here, and it's like 3,000 BC, and then you're like, okay, Jesus came at that time, okay. Zillions of things happening in civilization, and then okay, another 100 years. Okay, just a little bit more. Way down there is America. Way down there. Like we're such babies, you know, when you look at all of civilization. And then when you think about God and he had his hand on all of it, all of that civilization. I mean, I have that map for myself just because someday I know there'll be additional little eyes. I wish I would have had it when my kids had their, you know, little hands and studying history and everything, because they just would have loved it. But someday, because when I saw Jess just light up like that, I thought, I have to have that. That is a tool in my tool belt, you know, to pass down actual knowledge of like God's hand and his sovereignty and his goodness and his faithfulness for all of mankind. The whole world that's on this timeline, God loved and he sent his son. And even before Christ came, he was supreme over all these things, like what we just read in Colossians. I mean, it's a mind blower. But just that little point about the resurrection, the fact is the resurrection shows how God took himself and the kingdom of heaven broke into earth's timeline. That should wake you up because it didn't have to happen. We didn't have to be a part of his story, but he has made us a part of his story. And so now we're a part of history. It should motivate you as a mom to know that. Another part of the resurrection is that because of it, we do know that death has been conquered and we too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Jesus. It sounds fundamental, but to pass that on to your kids is a big deal. The resurrection gives authority to the witness that we have as a church. God has told us that we have authority, and the resurrection is what gives us that authority. The resurrection means that the authority of the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, is valid. It's why we do the bread and wine thing, you know, fake wine, grape juice, whatever, whatever it is we drink, sugar water. But I mean, it's symbolic of the Lord's blood. And it should be taken very seriously. So when you have communion at home, or if you come to church on Sunday night, or whenever, you know, if we have communion here at church sometimes, make sure that you understand that there is authority in that. It's a serious thing. Kids shouldn't just be grabbing the bread and, you know, a nice snack for me before church or whatever. It's serious. We should be reverential regarding communion. It's very significant. And it is because of the resurrection that we even do it. Because of the resurrection, it helps us to find meaning in tragedy. No matter what happens, we have hope for the future. Point your kids to the resurrection. Point yourself to the resurrection as we're studying Philippians 4:8. The resurrection assures us that Jesus is alive and he's ruling his kingdom. He's not a figure from a legend. He entered history in real time. When I read that, I thought, that's so perfect. We just read about thrones and kingdoms and authorities and principalities. This, communicating to your kids with all of like the Marvel comics and all the movies, super into legends. There's just a lot of like legend and legend and legend. And it's just building up this idea that all of these things are myths. But Jesus is no myth. Jesus is not a legend. He's not a superhero. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And we can wear shirts and stuff that say, Jesus is my superhero. Y'all, sure, that's great and everything. But just make sure we don't cheapen it, because it cost him his life and it cost many, many people. And even now, even today, in today's world, there are people being martyred for their faith. It comes at a great cost. Make sure your kids don't think he's just like, you know, Shazam or whatever. Just make sure of that. So as we go ahead and then keep on reminding ourselves, wow, we're talking about Philippians 4:8 and we're talking about Colossians 3:2, setting our minds. It is so important that we make sure that we surrender everything that we have to God. It's part of being a disciple. We talked about that a little bit last week. Now, this is just a reminder. We're called to obedience, yes, but it is by grace that we're saved. Grace through faith. There's a pull and a tension there because we're made of flesh and our flesh just loves to get honored above anything else. And as a Christian, you are saying, I have new man in Christ. I am alive in Christ. And this old man is gonna have to die. And guess what? It hurts. But understand that we're saved by grace. So I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about that at all. A case for obedience that I would try to present if I was gonna try to help you as moms, because you do wanna have order in your home, right? And on a couple of the cards, one of the cards, I think it was the one that says right, it talks about having order to a judicial sense, having order, which means we need to obey, right? Not just because we're in America, not just because there's laws, but because we're actually called to it. I know, bummer, okay? But we have to obey, or else we have a crazy, crazy society. It'd be like there's erupting, burning fires or something in downtown, and maybe crazy graffiti everywhere. I mean, I don't even know what could happen if there was like no law and order, if nobody ever brought in the police. Oh my goodness. Oh, wait, that actually happened. Okay, I get it. I understand. Okay, back up. We need to obey. And you need to teach your kids the benefit of obedience. It's huge. It's huge. It does not matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is what you're doing. Okay? Super important. And making that distinguishment is just so huge. Just remember and teach your kids what's impossible with man, or what seems impossible with you, little guy or little girl, is really, really possible with God. God can give you the strength. Mommy and daddy are not asking you to do anything that's unreasonable. We're not being too hard on you. Look, we read. We can read. We know that it says kids, you know, parents, don't be too hard on your kids. Kids, we know we're not being too hard on you. For you to do your homework is not being too hard, okay? For you to brush your teeth, that's not being too hard on you, you know? You just gotta make sure they're not working you, you know, because they're gonna try. Couple things under obedience. So I wanna talk about a broader perspective and then how it applies to us, okay? So the broader perspective, and I'm telling you, you're underestimating your kids. Jess's kids are like what, 12 and down? Yeah. So in that category of the happy chat, right? Right in that category. You know what? Her kids are smart. Her kids are smart and can figure it out. They know what's going on. If you talk to them about the whole timeline thing, like, they will get it. If you talk to your kids about the timeline, they'll get it. Okay, so on the broader scope of things, when you talk about why should we obey? If you, because your kids might even ask, why should we even obey? You know, you can bring up this topic, and it's church lethargy. Church what? Huh? Well, it's laziness. It's lethargic. It's like not being strong as a church. That is a devastation to us as Christians, okay? No matter where you're coming from, no matter what part of our country and the world you're from, if you go in, Brad has had the amazing privilege of going to a small country in Africa called Burkina Faso. Some of you know that when Joey was really little, he was super sick. He was born with like a defective, or actually he grew extra intestine, and they had to resect his bowel at just 3 weeks old. And it was scary. And then just a couple months later, he got super sick again, and everything on the inside just collapsed. They call it intussusception, I think. Is that right? Do I have that right? Some nurses out there that are like, yep. So everything just collapsed inside. And he really two times should have died. So Joey got all resected and stitched back, and they got them all up, and oh, both times I'm telling you, wow. Round one was really hard for me. Round two, that was tough. That was tough. Because see, you have to remember, what was I shedding off from my like BC days? It was the demonstration of, if you're good, bad things won't happen to you. If you're a good person, you're saved. You know, now I was saved. I knew by grace. I knew I was a sinner and all of that. And I had even come to realize that, oh my goodness, God is not a magician. And sometimes if you ask him for things, you're not going to get your way. Like, I had figured that part out, right? And I even had accepted the fact that I could maybe go through some huge life trial, right? But what I could not handle would be if a child would pass. And for anyone here who has had a child pass away, my mom had a stillborn, my grandparents lost a son. That pain is incredible. you it's not normal. It's not a normal set of pain. So for Joey to go into the hospital the first time, I thought, okay, we're passing the trial test. Good, we'll get through it. Okay, good. So I went in, turned in my baby. He had a surgery. It was intense. He was in ICU for 7 days. That was intense. That was crazy. There was all kinds of stuff that went on with that. There were like sweet moments, intense moments, watching the body of Christ come around us, all the things, right? Check, check, check. Okay, that's good, good. Okay, got my baby back. Good. Little issue. Had to kind of bring him back real quick because there was like a stitch that didn't work. And so, where's the refund, please? Here, can you do it? Okay, got the baby back. We're good. Okay, our trial's done. All right. Okay, good. Our trial's done. Good. 2.5 months later, he gets sick. And I take him to the emergency room. Brett was up doing a men's retreat. His grandfather had to go up on that mountaintop and go get him and say, you need to leave this retreat right now. Your son is in the ER. And Brett comes and finds me, and I am not good. Because I say, why is this happening to us? That is the wrong question, by the way. That was a premise that was not accurate. The real question is, why hasn't this happened to every single one of us in this room? Every single one of us deserve death. We all deserve death. Once you get that flipped upside down so that you're right side up, it all is okay. But I was not in that place at that time. So we have the baby in the, you know, surgery, and it's everything I can do, to have them rip my child out of my arms. Because I do not want him to have to go through that again. It was everything I could do. But I knew he would die if he did not come under the guidance of that surgeon with that skillful hand to save and preserve his life. He would die. And so I had to let him go. And then I buried my face in Brett's chest. I buried my face in his chest. And Brett, being strong like you guys know he is, he was just steady Eddie. And I was mortified at the thought of like what could actually happen to this boy who I had just incredibly grown to love. And our pastor came in and Judy Slaughter came in. And I just let them know, I don't know if I can trust a God who would allow this to happen. I don't get it. I do not get it. And our pastor, who had lost his wife, his first wife, in an accident, again, my whole worldview was rocked when I found out his first wife had passed away, because good people don't lose people. Especially pastors. How could that be? And he said, we don't know why this is happening, but what we do know is that God is good. And everything he does is good. Now, anyone that was here last week, you know that I shared that scripture out of Psalms. The Lord is good, and everything he does is good. And there was a huge change that took place in my life. And then that second round, Joey was in the hospital for 10 days in neonatal isolation. It's a big deal to be in a neonatal. You just become adapted to a whole different life. You're eating out of boxes and, you know, ice chests and all the things, and nurses are sweet and great and so kind and amazing, and you know, it gets to be your second home, and you're okay with sleeping on a cot and all the things, you know, just so that you can be with your baby and, you know, try to pump, because his whole system was shut down like both times. Like, I had to not feed him, I had to pump instead of that, in an era where there was no pumps. It was a new thing to have a pump. Like, what? In the old days, in my mom's time, it would have just been no option, and you just would have dried up, and there would have been no nursing option for you. Thankfully, they had pumps. Well, here's a new thing. It's called the pump. Like, you can save your milk. You know, like, it was a new thing. So back we were, 10 days of doing that. And you could tell the stress in my life because I had had frozen milk from the first round. And then when I got the bags and brought them into the freezer the second round, my milk went from what looked like thick, thick cream to the second round was like water. And I needed my son to gain some weight. So I said, forget it. I'm doing the nursing a little bit, but I'm also gonna do formula and all that stuff. So for those of you who have chosen to do formula and stuff, there's no judgment. I have no judgment for you. I know that nursing has such great things and antibodies and all that kind of stuff, but man, our society has just swung woo, from here and here on all of it. And when you're wanting your baby to live, when you're wanting your baby to live, you're gonna do whatever it takes. So, you know, just like when they peeled his body away from my hands and I gave him over, I also needed to get him fed, you know, so that he would grow. You know, spiritually, both things are true, you guys. Both things are true. With our kids, with ourselves, we have this gift called Jesus. He loves us so much. And he died on the cross for our sins. And he took the form of a servant so that we could inherit eternal life and participate in heaven. And you know, the Father allowed his son to do that. The Father allowed his son, God in the form of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son came to this earth and performed the most miraculous surgery of all time. Cut out our sin that we should be dead over, eternally cast to hell over. And Jesus did that for you and for me. And our kids need to know it. And we all need to have answers and give our kids that life. And they need real food so that they can grow. So if you're seeing like, man, my kids are not having anything that's actually good, like I gotta cut out the TV or cut out this or cut out that, do it. Get them what's gonna make them grow. What did Jesus say? Man cannot live just on bread alone, but on the word of God. We have to so that they can thrive and so that they can do well. Infusing God's word into your life is going to give you order and discipline and strength. It will. The Lord will help you grow, and he'll help your kids grow as well. There's a really sweet Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Make the Lord be the one who's building your house. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In John chapter 12, these are just a couple notes for you to write down. Write down John chapter 12, 23 through 26. Write down John 1, verses 1 through 5, and also verse 14. And then John 14, verse 5. Jesus talked about obedience. And each one of those scriptures is going to teach you a little bit about that. In John 14, verse 15, it literally says, Jesus says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. You're serving your kids when you obey God. In John 14, 21, it says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. If you love me, you'll obey me. It's not a guilt trip. It's a reflection of your dedication and your commitment to Christ. There's a dear, extremely dear woman named Elizabeth Elliot who is in heaven now. But this is just one thing that she says. We are the creatures of a great master designer, and his orderings of our lives is sure and certain. Yet many people live without any visible order or peace or serenity. The way we live ought to manifest the truth of what we believe. A messy life speaks of a messy and incoherent faith. Let me be woman. And I cited the page number there, and I'm not going to read you the whole book, but I do suggest buying it. So Elizabeth Elliot was just an amazing, amazing woman. How many people here have not ever heard of Elizabeth Elliot? Can you raise your hand? Okay, great. Okay, Elizabeth Elliot. Rock star, even though we're not supposed to say that about actual not rock stars. Rock star of the faith, okay? She wrote this amazing book that anyone who has kids, you should read this book called, it's called Passion and Purity. I mean, right there, it sounds like, what? It's a romantic novel? Yes, it is, except it's a true story. And it's such a beautiful love story about she and her first husband, Jim Elliot. It's so beautiful. And I would suggest reading it as a devotional because you can read just one little page every day. And it's like, she's so deep. But it's only a few parents. How is she so deep? But she was raised by Christian parents who loved the Lord, and she was taught scripture, and she was taught, like, her parents seized the opportunity to train her in the ways of the Lord. So when she went to Wheaton College and then met Jim Elliot, and, you know, they were committed to being missionaries, and I don't want to ruin the Passion and Purity story. It's a beautiful story. It's amazing. But suffice to say, her story is one that looks from the outside like, how could life be so tragic for one person? Because she was married, and then this woman that's on this book with her is her daughter. So she was married not for very long and just had a one-year-old, and they were down in Ecuador, and her husband was with the missionary pilots trying to get to the Aka tribe, just get them food and supplies. And the Indians thought that they were the enemy. They thought they were going to be attacked. And so Jim Elliot and several other missionaries were murdered. They were speared to death and killed. So she got word of that, and the strength like no other. I mean, all of America at that time in the 1950s was shocked. How could missionaries get murdered? How could, they were very missionary-minded, the country was at that time. Many countries were, England, Scotland. They would send out missionaries because they wanted people to know about Christ. But to be murdered was just a shocker. So that's kind of what put Elizabeth Elliot on the map, was because she was an excellent writer, and really people just wanted to know the story. And so she wrote Through Gates of Splendor, which was the story of the whole entire situation. And from there, more and more books, more and more books. And even to this day, you can still listen to her podcasts. And I remember I used to wait practically at my mailbox, when's the next Elizabeth Elliot newsletter going to come, when she was mailing them out. And it was just so fun because there would be so many nuggets. And you can look all that stuff up online still. She would always share a hymn, share an amazing story. Just the scripture would be shared, and just knowledge and wisdom and strength. In God's word, because of God, not because of Elizabeth Elliot. She actually took her child back to the Aka Indians and lived there with her toddler in a little sling above so that the critters running around below would not get her daughter, who grew up, don't worry, grew up and had like 10 or 12 kids, and, you know, is also a rock star, and shared with the Aka Indians and actually shared the gospel with them. She learned the language because she said she wanted to understand, why did they kill my husband? So she learned their language, and she went and she lived with them, lived among them, shared Christ with them. And you know, the whole tribe got saved. They all came to Christ. And so after much time and a great relationship and very good rapport, who is like her? She's just so amazing. And I know if you start looking up things about Elizabeth Elliot, you will not be disappointed. But she was able to ask, you know, that question, like, what? So, you know, hey, by the way, why'd you kill my husband, you know? And they said, we're so sorry. We'll always be sorry. We thought they were coming to get us. And forgiveness, you know. But the one time that I did get to spend a little bit of time was a retreat that she did when she came and spoke at our church. And she met with the leadership wives, and she was such a Titus II mom, you know. She looked at all of us and said, I am telling you, when you have your kids all grown up, please do not go to work. Pour into the parents and the moms who are in your church, because people need to hear from you. This was like 25 years ago. And I was like, huh? You know, huh? But it's always kept in the back of my mind how much value she placed on the older teaching the younger how. Just how. I mean, we were lost then. We're lost now. We need each other desperately. We're learning from each other all of the time. And to encourage each other in that and to strengthen our faith because of the life that we live, the little bit of strength, maybe, you know, whatever has gotten us through to right now with Jesus at the helm, we need to pass that on to you. And you need to pass it on again and keep on passing, like I referenced before. Have gals over to your house. Susie's got like, what, 500 ladies going to your house in the summer or something and listening to Bible study? I mean, you know, like she's figured out a way. Hey, we can put bread on the screen and invite a bunch of people over and go through it. Like, do whatever it takes so that people understand that there's a purpose for their life, that the resurrection's real, that they have a hope that cannot be destroyed. So in terms of that, and to get to that place, there has to be some order. There has to be some order and some personal discipline. And she writes about that in this book called Let Me Be Woman. She says, obedience. She says, the parents, I got to back up. It's just really good. I'm just going to back up a little bit more. Okay. She actually starts out, it's this little chapter. It's chapter 12, self-discipline in order. And she shares this little bit of a hymn. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, by John Greenleaf Whittier. We are the creatures of a great master designer, and his ordering of our lives, this is what I share with you, his ordering of our lives is sure and certain, yet many people live without any visible order or peace or serenity. The way we live ought to manifest the truth of what we believe. A messy life speaks of a messy and incoherent faith. It is something that we've worked for a long time on, haven't we, Val? This matter of order. It means self-discipline. And then there's quotes. She's quoting scripture here. If you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom begins way back. It begins not with doing what you want, but with doing what you ought. That is, with discipline, with continuing in the word. To be a disciple means to be disciplined. And we have worked at that, haven't we? From the day you were born almost, I tried to teach you that the word I spoke was the word I meant. It was to be taken seriously, to be lived by in your child life. How shall we learn to believe and obey God if we have not been taught from earliest childhood to believe and obey the one he puts over us? A child has to know first of all and beyond any shadow of doubt that the word spoken will be the word carried out. Threats, if you don't do this, you'll be spanked. Or promises, if you pick up all your toys, you'll get a popsicle. If not carried through, are ruinous to a child's morality. Failure to fulfill threats and promises trains a child to discount what is said. It trains him to lie. The parents are not to be trusted. Therefore, they need not be obeyed. Therefore, no authority is trustworthy or need to be obeyed. Obedience is optional, depending on convenience or inclination or obvious reward. God has not so taught us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's from John 1. He that heareth my word and doeth it, he it is that loveth me. We just shared that scripture a minute ago. If you love me, keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When you were small, there were always Indians. She met the ones that they were living with in Ecuador, okay? When you were small, there were always Indians around us, and I had many things on my mind in the running of a jungle mission station. I was sometimes tempted to pay little attention to your small needs. You knew it at once. You knew whether it was an opportune time to get away with something. You would try it. And my preoccupied, Val, leave that alone, you would ignore. You knew You could safely ignore it because my attention had already turned back to the thing at hand. I learned very soon that I had to give my full attention to you when I spoke. I do not mean that I gave you my full attention 24 hours of the day. I see mothers who were very nearly accomplished this, and they do it to the destruction of their poor, smothered, harried children. I mean that when a matter needs the mother's attention, it must get her full attention for that moment. I had to turn from my work and turn to you. Your eyes would open wide when I stopped what I was doing and looked at you. Slowly, slowly, your hand would drop when I said your name. In the moment of pause and silence, you assessed my seriousness. Either I meant it or I did not, and there was no dissimulating with you. You knew which it was and acted accordingly. Now this is for you having vision for your life. She's writing this to her daughter that her daughter's reading right before her daughter gets married. Okay, so here's the transition. My job is over now. You are a woman, God's woman, autonomous before him. But his disciplining of you is far from finished. If you love him, you'll do what he says. And there could be no question as to whether he means it, if only you will look at his face. Be silent long enough to hear what he says. He calls his own sheep by name. It was when Mary heard her name that she knew her master in the garden after his resurrection. Master, she cried in recognition of his lordship over her. The way you keep your house, the way you organize your time, the care you take in your personal appearance, the things you spend your money on, all speak loudly about what you believe. The beauty of thy peace shines forth in an ordered life. A disordered life speaks loudly of disorder in the soul. I wanted to share that with you because, like so many of Elizabeth Elliot's entries, they're not difficult to understand. They'll always be challenging, and they will, I'm going to say 99.99% of the time, make complete sense. And you'll note, this is something I need to weave into my life, because she lived a life that was such a good testimony and such a good witness right up until the end, right up until the end. In Matthew 28, which you can go ahead and turn there. And we're getting ready to be like right there. So you're going to repeat this in just a minute with Brett. In verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Keep going. Jesus is with you. He promises to be with you, even to the end of the age. He's given you the authority to be the mom of your kids, the grandma of your grandkids, for you to pass on these truths. Know them, believe them, practice them, answer them, communicate them. The Lord's with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the goodness of your amazing, amazing, amazing incarnation. It is incredible that we get to have a walk with you. I thank you so much, Lord, that you have called us to be your disciples. In the areas of our life, Lord, where it is that we should maybe straighten things up that might look a little messy, Lord, I thank you for these short weeks that we have together where we can talk about these things, where we can set our mind on things above, where we can rehearse over and over habitually, get it put into our mind to have ourselves really fixed with our minds in heaven. I thank you, Lord, that you have come to this earth and you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit, that you promised an even better thing And we cannot wait until the day that we can see you face to face, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, for giving us one another, for your Holy Spirit, the presence that you give us, Lord, for discernment. Lord, I thank you for the amazing, amazing, amazing aspects of forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that when we do face trials, that we can turn to you and we can trust you fully because you're good and what you do is good. And on the entire timeline of human history, you chose to come right down in through it and break it out to us, Lord, and we're so grateful. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless these women. Bless them, Lord. Empower them, strengthen them. Where they need grace in their lives, Lord, I pray it would be applied. Where they need to apply it, Lord, I pray you would show them where. Help them to reorder things in communication with their kids where needed. And where things are going well, I pray that they would know that it's not because of them, but it's because of you. So I thank you, Lord, and praise you so much for this evening. And I thank you, Lord, for not just tonight, but the next weeks we'll have as well. Bless these women, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.